This is Audible.
Scholastic Audio presents Graceful by Wendy Mass, read by Kathleen McInerney. What is essential is invisible to the eye. From The Little Prince by Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. Vortex, pronunciation, vortex, part of speech, noun, plural form, vortices, vortexes. Definition. 1. A swirling mass of substance such as air, water, or fire. 2. A spot from where a concentrated source of electromagnetic energy flows. 3. A temporary doorway or portal to another level of existence. Invisible lines of energy fling themselves across continents and oceans and out to the farthest reaches of the galaxy. Where the lines cross, a vortex of energy sinks deep into the Earth and waits. This concentrated energy contains all the possibilities in the universe, all the mathematical outcomes of your choices. If you were to stumble into it, you might feel a tingle, something you could blame on a cool breeze or déjà vu, or you might feel nothing at all. Our limited senses simply may not allow us to comprehend the true nature of reality. We think a tree is a tree, but if you look deeper, past the bark and the sap, into the molecules that make up the wood, deeper into the almost completely empty atom, until you reach the smallest particles of matter, you will find only waves of energy. Not a solid thing at all. And those particles? They have no idea they're part of a tree. We, too, have no idea what we're a part of. There are rumors of a select few who have come close to understanding, but they have not come forth to reveal themselves. Chapter 1. Grace.
Admit it, if you suddenly had magical powers, you would have turned that leftover meatloaf into pizza, too. Bailey shakes her head as we pedal down the uneven cobblestones of the hidden alley. As much as I'm against your mom's meatloaf for many reasons, she says, the first thing I would do if I had your powers is get straight A's on every report card. You already get straight A's, I point out. She shakes her head. Remember, I got that A- in gym last year for refusing to play dodgeball? Such a barbaric sport. I pull to a stop in front of the last store on the right and swing down my kickstand. Let me guess, barbaric was on your Word of the Day app today? Yesterday, she says. I've been waiting for an occasion to use it. She hops off her bike and lets it fall right over onto the street as she's done every time since we were 6 and learned to ride without training wheels. As the bike leaves her hands, I see it fall in slow motion, taking much longer to hit the ground than logic says it should. Time acting wonky is one of the weirdnesses that I've had to get used to ever since the vortex on the edge of town decided to pick me to share its power with when I turned 10. I hadn't asked for this gift, hadn't even known such a thing existed, but it's my destiny, and I'm learning to live with it. The only people who know are my parents, my older brother Connor, and a group of his friends who basically saved my life when they realized what was happening to me. They have now become my friends, too, which is very cool, because they are 3 years older and still want to hang out with me. They even call themselves Team Grace. I have a team! I wasn't supposed to tell anyone else about the whole magical vortex thing, but Bailey's been my best friend ever since I started a petition in first grade to ban soda in the cafeteria, and she was the only person to sign it. She's crazy smart, and I know I can trust her. Ready? Bailey asks as we approach the door of Angelina's Sweet Repeats and Collectibles. she pulls out the silk pouch where we keep the key to the store. It was Bailey's idea that such a special object shouldn't get shoved in a pocket or tossed in my bike basket. We made the pouch on my mom's sewing machine from the pants Connor wore the Halloween he was a pirate. Then we added glitter and sparkles, because everything looks better with glitter and sparkles. She hands me the key and steps back. Breathe in. Breathe out. Repeat. A few stray pieces of glitter waft down from my hand as I lift the key to the lock. I slip it in and take one more deep breath. Then I try to turn it to the right. It doesn't budge. To the left. Nothing. I lean my forehead against the cool glass door, and my breath forms circles of fog. It's been 6 weeks since my birthday. Every day I come here and try to get inside. Sometimes with Bailey, often with Connor and Team Grace. Once even with my parents, which was awkward, because they're still really freaked out by everything. Mom has already texted me 9 times since Bailey and I left an hour ago. But it doesn't matter what time of day or night it is, or who I'm with. The key never turns. The door never opens. All I can do is stare at all the clothes and toys and books and random stuff from the other side of a thick pane of glass. I wish I could use my power to open the door without the key, but I've tried, and it doesn't work. I can only do small magical things, like changing that meatloaf into pizza, or making my parents lose track of time at the beach so we can stay longer. Almost as soon as my powers came, they were gone. For a few days, I could sense people's thoughts and even make things move with a wave of my hand. That was fun. Made cleaning my room go a lot quicker. But now, most of those things are gone. Angelina D'Angelo had the power of the vortex for 100 years. I only had it for a week. At first, I'd tried to explain to the others how it felt to be able to see what I'd never imagined existed, like the way every person seemed connected to everyone else. Seeing the history of our town unfold in front of my eyes, it was like living 100 years in 7 days. I'm sure I didn't explain it well, though, and now it's slipping away from me, like a dream once you're fully awake. But really, I shouldn't complain. I knew what would happen when Angelina and I combined our powers so we could cure Connor's best friend David's dad. Angelina had been trying to save him for decades from a really horrible disease, and she couldn't. But once I got my powers and added them to hers, we were strong enough. Doing it took all of Angelina's powers and drained most of mine, too. She told me it will take mine 2 years to fully return. Hers are gone for good. Secretly, I worry that the most I'll ever be able to do is make pizzas, and I could have done that without magical powers. I hand the key back to Bailey, who slips it into the pouch without a word. Maybe Angelina was just kidding when she gave me the key to her store before she left town, I say, sitting down on the hard cobblestones. I lean against the wall and cross my arms. I mean, who leaves a whole store, probably full of magical stuff, to some fifth-grade kid? You're not just some kid, Bailey says, sitting down beside me. Maybe I'm not the right kid, though. Maybe the vortex was supposed to choose someone else born in Willow Falls on the same day as me. Interesting, Bailey says. I hadn't thought of that. Was anyone else born on the same day? I sigh. No. Pretty sure it's you, then, she says. You'll get more powerful soon. I don't know, I admit. Angelina said she would help me build them back up, but I haven't heard a word since she left on the train. I know it's not her fault. She was stuck in Willow Falls for 100 years. I mean, I love our town and all, but that would make anyone want to leave. Maybe there's something in the store that's supposed to help me.
Can you track her down and tell her the key isn't working?
I shake my head. She could be on the other side of the world, for all I know. Now school starts in a few days, and I'll have to pretend to be a normal person again while all this is going on in my head. Bailey pats my leg.
You were never normal, if that makes you feel any better.
Not really.
What are you girls doing here?
A deep voice asks.
This is private property, you know.
We look up in surprise, but the glare from the sun hides the man's face. We scramble to our feet. I haven't seen a single other person come down this alley all summer. Maybe we're not supposed to be here.
Ray!
Bailey says, recognizing him first. She punches him on the arm.
We thought we were in trouble.
Ray grins.
Couldn't resist,
he says, returning to his usual Australian accent.
Your mugs just look so serious.
Ray is on Team Grace, but mostly he just drives us places and does stuff we need a grown-up to do. Bailey and I totally had crushes on him when he directed the play we were in last month. Once Jake Harrison showed up, though, we quickly forgot about Ray. Ray's old, anyway, like at least 24. Jake's only 14 and is so talented and cute and is super nice for a big-time movie star. But he only has eyes for Connor's friend Rory, and since Rory is totes awesome sauce, we need to find new crushes.
Pretty brave of you to try to scare us, I say, climbing onto my bike. I could have turned you into a turtle.
Angelina did that once to her brother who was being annoying. Then you would have had to go home to Australia for Christmas and explain to your family why you're moving so slowly. He laughs.
Yikes! I thought all you could do was change things into pizzas.
I squint up at him. Where'd you hear that?
Your bro Connor may have let it slip when he came to work at the house last week.
Is Connor making actual money working for Tara's uncle? Bailey asks.
No,
Ray says.
He's getting paid in magic beans. Of course he's getting real money.
I wouldn't mind some of those magic beans, I mutter.
Patience, little one,
he says, patting me on the head.
I'm betting in no time at all you'll be making pizzas left and right.
I swatted him.
Crikey, almost forgot the reason I'm here.
He reaches into his back pocket.
Connor asked me to give you this. It came to your house in the mail this morning.
He places a postcard in my hand. It's a picture of a circle of giant stones standing up in a field. The words, "Greetings from Stonehenge," are splashed across the front. I flip it over. It's from Angelina, I announce. She really is on the other side of the world. Bailey leans over my shoulder.
She finally gets in touch with you, and the only thing she writes on the postcard is your address? That's annoying.
I look up at her. What do you mean?
I mean, it's blank, Bailey says.
No, it's not, I reply.
Chapter 2 Grace.
Yes, it is,
she and Ray say together. No, it's not, I repeat. You guys really can't see the writing on it? They shake their heads. I don't want to be rude by smiling, but if I can see something they can't, that means I do still have some real magic left in me. Angelina had said we would have a special link, and I guess she was right.
What does it say, then?
Bailey asks. I have no idea, I admit. It's written in some kind of code. Ray chuckles.
That's Angelina. Looks like giving up her powers hasn't changed her much.
What kind of code?
Bailey asks. It's a whole bunch of weird symbols and tiny pictures in a circular pattern. Let's go back to my house, and I'll write it out for you. 2 hours later, Bailey and I are sitting at my kitchen table with the rest of Team Grace, Amanda, Leo, Rory, Tara, David, and Connor. I haven't seen much of David lately, since he almost never leaves his dad's side, so it makes me feel good that he came for me. My mom is hovering over by the stove, not even bothering to pretend she isn't listening to us. Rory leans over to me and whispers, "Is your mom okay? She looks a little gray, sort of." I know what she means. "I don't think she sleeps much," I reply. "Whenever I wake up at night, the light is always on in their room." "I wish there was something we could do so your parents wouldn't worry so much," Rory says. "But after everything they've been through, I can't really blame them." Leo bangs an old rubber mallet, we couldn't find a gavel, on the table and says,
"An official meeting of Team Grace is now called to order."
Leo has become the unofficial spokesman for the group. Connor gave him his mallet to use at meetings. Now that Connor's gotten a job helping Tara's uncle, an inventor, he gets to keep all of Mr. St. Clair's old tools. I think our parents should focus less on me and pay more attention to the fact that Connor has dismantled most of the electronic devices in our house, our old lawnmower, and basically any object that has more than one part.
"First order of business," Leo says. "Grace's postcard from Angelina. Now, Grace, will you show us what you..."
"You got a postcard from Angelina?"
Mom asks, cutting him off. She rushes over to the table, clenching and unclenching her hands. That's only one of the new nervous habits she's developed. I look at Connor. "You didn't tell Mom about the postcard?" As soon as I ask, I already know the answer. Connor tries to shelter our parents from all this stuff whenever possible. I should have realized he wouldn't have mentioned it.
"Is that it?"
Mom asks, pointing at the postcard in the center of the table. No one answers, but it's pretty obvious. She reaches for the card, stares down at the giant rock circle, then flips it over.
"Oh,"
she says in surprise,
"it's blank."
"Yes," I say, with perhaps a bit too much excitement. I'd actually forgotten that she wouldn't be able to see the writing. She drops it back on the table and says,
"Hopefully that woman is gone for good. Maybe she'll settle down in England."
The rest of us nod and murmur, "maybe" and "probably," but I'm pretty sure no one thinks Angelina is truly gone from Willow Falls. She's a part of this town. I focus on sending Mom a suggestion and then wait for her to speak. A few seconds later, she says,
"Why don't you kids go play outside? With school starting next week, you should get all the fresh air you can."
It worked. Now I can show them what I copied down without Mom hearing us. Everyone hurries to their feet.
"Wait,"
she says. We freeze. Uh-oh. Did I mess up and send all my thoughts to her? Does she know we're trying to get away from her? I really need Angelina to teach me how to do this stuff. I hold my breath. But to my surprise, she turns to Leo.
"Would you like to use the bathroom first?"
she asks.
"Before you start playing and lose track of time, and then it's too late?"
I think I'm good,"
he says, his cheeks turning a cute shade of red.
"Having a weak stomach is nothing to be embarrassed about," she says. "Your friends all understand, right?"
Tara and Rory quickly turn their heads away so my mom can't see their faces. Amanda says,
"It's okay, Mrs. Kelly. I made sure Leo went before he left home today. Your bathroom is safe for another day."
My mom shrugs.
"Well, just in case, I put extra toilet paper in there."
We run outside to the backyard, and Amanda, Tara, and Rory totally crack up. I don't know all the details of the Leo stuck in the bathroom story, because that was during the week Angelina had put me in a coma, and I couldn't understand anything going on around me. But the story had something to do with a bad burrito and a lot of toilet paper. Must have been really funny, because Tara is now wiping her eyes with the bottom of her orange T-shirt.
We'll tell you later,
Rory promises Bailey and me. Leo bangs his mallet on the side of a tree. Since it's rubber, it makes pretty much no sound. He waves his arms instead.
All right, he says. I know it's hilarious that Mrs. Kelly thinks I clogged up her toilet, but we have more important things to focus on.
He holds out his hand to me.
Do you have the code?
I pull a folded piece of notebook paper out of my pocket and hand it to him. I traced it, I explain, as he kneels down and spreads it out on our patio. The others gather around him. One by one, the members of Team Grace gasp and turn pale. This outer circle is about me, Amanda says. Me and Leo. Rory points to the middle ring. And this is me. Tara wordlessly points to the circle inside Rory's. I peer closer at the outer ring. All I see is a string of pictures. An apple, a duck, a candle, a cake, a potted plant, a bee, a lollipop, a football, a lizard, a drum, and then something square with eyes. What's that one? I ask. Amanda shudders. That's SpongeBob SquarePants. I look up, confused. I don't get it. What does a cartoon character have to do with the two of you? Leo picks up the paper.
All of the things in this circle have something to do with our 11th birthday, the one where we met Angelina for the first time.
Look, David, Amanda says, pointing to the tiny picture of the bee. That's you. They all laugh, and I don't bother to ask why it's funny. Willow Falls is full of stories, most of them known only to a few. I got to see glimpses of them when I first got my powers, but now I only see an occasional flash when I sense a connection between two people. The older members of Team Grace each have a glowing white light around them, and when they are all together like this, the lights reach for one another until the air pulses with a golden glow. These are the kinds of things I keep to myself.
Do you think this means Angelina's not done with us yet?
Tara asks, the paper in her hand shaking. I can see the fear in her eyes. From what I've learned of her story, out of everyone on Team Grace, she had it the hardest. She and her family had to move every few years because Angelina kept finding them. Finally, Tara was forced to come to Willow Falls to stay with relatives she barely knew, and then the craziness really began. Now her family is moving here, and she's looking forward to a fresh start, one that doesn't include Angelina. I stare down at the circle. The pattern reminds me of something, but I can't think what it is. I close my eyes and reach deep down inside me, feeling around for the tiny magical spark resting there. I take a few deep breaths and focus harder. I can feel the spark like a lightning bug buzzing and zigzagging inside, warming me up and connecting me with a power greater than myself. Suddenly, I know two things for certain. First, Angelina is done with the others, but I'm not. They're a part of something big that's coming. But it's not today. It's not this month. But it's coming. And second, I need to do whatever it takes to get my full powers back, because when that big thing comes, I have to be ready to protect Willow Falls and everyone in it. I focus on the light within me, willing it to tell me more. It only twinkles and fades out. When I open my eyes, Team Grace is happily munching on a steaming fresh pizza that has suddenly appeared on the picnic table. I know there's no chance a pizza delivery guy dropped it off while I had my eyes closed. Leo and David are holding two slices each and grinning.
That is one handy talent, Grace,
Leo says, his mouth full of gooey cheese. I join them at the table and rest my head in my hands. Willow Falls is in big trouble.
Amanda.
Dear Diary, well, the strangest summer of my life is now over, and that's saying a lot, considering a few years ago I was stuck in my 11th birthday for 11 days. Still, I think traveling back in time outweirds being stuck in time, or maybe it's a tie. I'm sure I wasn't the only one today who was relieved when Grace told us that she won't need us for a while, even though I feel a little guilty. Getting to be a part of the turnover of power from Angelina to Grace was an awesome experience, and I'm totally honored and all that. But I need to catch up with my real life. Like, Kylie invited me to go running with her in the mornings, and since it's the first time my sister has asked me to do anything with her since we were little kids, I said yes. So now I have to get running shoes and last-minute school supplies. Also, Stephanie's having her 13th birthday party tonight, a swimming party, and I'm nervous since it's mostly her gymnastics friends. Being a drummer in the school marching band has not upped my coolness factor. Having a boyfriend might, but I'm definitely not telling any of Stephanie's friends about me and Leo. I just don't know if I'm ready to be an official girlfriend. It sounds so grown up. Leo always wants to talk about our relationship, but I keep changing the subject. It's like all he thinks about. I know that's supposed to be what I should want. Oh, so confused. I think I just need a break. School starts in 2 days. I can't wait to see if I'm in any classes with anyone from Team Grace. Well, of course, Grace and Bailey won't be in my classes, but I'll still see them at school. Bailey's a good kid, or a good egg, as my dad would say. Going through what Grace is going through without a best friend by her side would be awful. I wish I had told Stephanie what was happening on my 11th birthday while I was still going through it, but I was afraid of how she'd react. Grace is much braver than me, in many ways. I guess she has to be. I don't think I'd want to be in her shoes, but she seems to be taking it pretty well. If someone told me that a vortex of magic energy had selected me, the one person in 100 years, to protect a whole town, I'm pretty sure I'd be hiding under my bed right now. Kylie was right when she said writing things down would help me sort out my feelings. I think it's helping. She gave you to me on my 11th birthday, and I shoved you and your shiny purple cover in a drawer, and kind of forgot about you. Sorry, diary. TTYL. me/Amanda/drummer girl/girlfriend of Leo's/best friend of Leo's. Always. At least, I hope.
Leo.
Ode to Magic Pizza by Leo Fitzpatrick. Oh, Magic Pizza, you are so yummy. Now you are sitting in my tummy. I swear you taste better than the real stuff, almost like you were made with marshmallow fluff. Mmm, fluff. Fluffernutter sandwiches are the best, and I have tried all the rest. But this poem is about Magic Pizza, which I will miss a ton, because Grace kicked us out of all the fun. She must want to keep you all to herself. Nah, I'm just kidding, but it will be rough. I'll miss Team Grace, and especially A, but I know I'll still see her every day, because now she's my girlfriend. Yay!
Rory. Rory, OMG, you are my first real text with my first real keyboard.
Jake, your parents finally gave in?
It took all my babysitting money from the whole summer, but I got it. I can even get pictures. It's all very exciting. Smiley face times infinity. Sorry, that came out sounding way girly.
Well, you are a girl after all. That's what I like about you. It doesn't take much to make you happy. Smiling winky face.
True. So, where are you right now?
Backstage at my last D&P. Huzzah!
D&P?
Oh, sorry. Stands for Dog and Pony Show. It's where the cast tries to impress the people interviewing us, so they want to be our best friends and say nice things about our movie.
Have fun.
I'd rather be hanging out in your strange town with you and your strange family and strange friends. Smiling winky face.
LOL. My town and my family are definitely strange, but my friends are pretty normal.
Dunno. I'm pretty sure two of them disappeared into thin air at the beach last month. Just kidding. Didn't mean to freak you out. GTG. Thing starting. O-O-J.
Rory. So, you'll never guess what Jake just said. Amanda. That he loves you and he's leaving life in the spotlight for a peaceful, quiet existence in Willow Falls? Ha-ha. No. He joked about seeing you and Leo disappear at the beach last month. That's weird. If he saw us, why did he pretend not to? I mean, he's a good actor, but I don't think he's that good.
I think his brain is trying to make sense of it.
Hey, this is a long text for you. Did you finally get a normal phone?
Yep. Love it.
Did Jake sign his text with the two O's again? Someday you'll change one to an X. Winking smiley face.
I'm sure he'll come to his senses before then, and some other girl will get those X's. Someone much cooler and cuter.
No one is cooler and cuter than Rory Swenson, the pirate with the elephant ear. Winking smiley face.
Speaking of kisses, how's that coming with Leo?
GTG, bye.
Amanda?
Hello? I know you're still seeing these.
No, I'm not.
LOL. See you in school tomorrow.
Tara.
Dear Julie, I'm sorry it's taken me 6 weeks to write back since you sent your 15-page letter, but hey, better than the 4 years it took me last time. And now you only have to read one letter, instead of all 67, so bonus for you.
I loved reading about everything that's been going on in your life in the last 4 years. I thought about you all the time, even though you didn't know it. Rapunzel equals a great name for a dog. I remember how you used to beg for one when we were little. I'm glad your parents worked things out, too, and that your brother is getting better. I'm enclosing two comic books in this envelope for him that my uncle gave me from his collection. Remind me to tell you one day about all the things he collects.
It's taken me this long to reply to your letter because knowing that you actually read all those letters that I had written to you but never mailed kinda threw me for a loop. It was my cousin Emily who sent them. She found where I hid them and didn't even ask. I know she was trying to be nice, I think, but it kind of feels like someone stole my diary and sent it across the country. You know all my secrets now. Thank you for still wanting to be my friend after reading all that. And thank you for saying that we're real friends now, not just pen pals like before, and for forgiving the fact that I just disappeared on you. Even though I wasn't mailing the letters, writing them still made me feel close to you. Sounds crazy, I know. Now you're the only person who really knows me, or I should say knew me, because I've definitely changed since I've been here. I can tell as I'm writing this that it sounds different from my other letters, and not just the words, the way I feel while writing them. After I got your letter, I realized that if I want to be close with the new friends I've made since coming to Willow Falls, I had to tell them about my life before I got here. I mean, they knew I didn't have a lot of friends. Okay, any, really. But I finally told them the kinds of things I told you in the letters, about being lonely and how riding my bike gave me freedom, and stuff about my parents and their relationship. Then I finally came clean about the goat and the pepper spray, and repeating the story out loud kind of made it seem funny and not so tragic, and the fact that they were laughing so hard they were crying helped a bit, too. So, as you know from letter number 67 that I wrote right after the goat pepper spray incident, I was sent away to stay with my cousin Emily, 2 years younger than you and me, and her parents, Aunt Bethany and Uncle Roger, who is a kind of famous inventor. They already had a house guest, a cute, tan, friendly, strange, but good strange, guy from Australia named Ray, who wants to be an actor. He used to be Uncle Roger's assistant, but now he's busy starting up the community theater program here. Ray and Emily looked out for me when I first got here, even when I tried to keep to myself. But then, remember how I complained in my letters how my mom always made us move all the time? Well, after I was here a few weeks, I found out why. It has to do with something my mom did when she was a kid. It's a long story, and there are parts of it that I can't talk about yet. But basically, my family got a lot closer because of it, so it had a happy ending. To tell you a little about my friends, the first person I met was this girl, Amanda, who is very friendly and kind of marches to the beat of her own drum. I mean, literally, she plays drums in the school marching band. That takes guts, right? She's also kind of wise beyond her years, like she's seen some stuff. She is dating this boy named Leo, who she was best friends with since the day they were born, so that's a little weird for her, I think. Leo is super nice, and he and I hit it off really easily. The other kids tease him about writing poems, but if he really does write them, I've never seen any. Then I met Rory, who became friends with Amanda and Leo a year ago. She also babysits my cousin Emily, even though Emily can totally take care of herself. I've never met anyone like Rory. Sometimes it's almost as if she's not there, like she blends into the background, but not on purpose, like the way I used to do it. But then other times, most times, she's like this bright light, like a flame that people are drawn to because she's so, I don't know, innocent or something. Trusting, thoughtful. She's also funny and clumsy. And here's the most amazing part. She's doing this almost dating thing with, hold on, you'll never believe it, Jake Harrison. I think it's a secret, though, so please, please don't tell anyone. You know that new movie he's in, Playing It Cool, that just came out a few weeks ago? He filmed it right here. Rory and a whole bunch of other kids in town got to be extras. Jake is super, super cool and nice and not at all movie starry, if you can get past all the screaming fans and camera flashes going off. I thought I would die of embarrassment when my dad told him I used to kiss his poster every night before bed. I'm hoping there was too much noise at the premiere of the movie, and he didn't hear that. Yes, I met Jake. A few times, actually. He sang in a play that I produced. Yes, I produce plays now. Told you I've changed. It was a one-time thing, though, that's for sure. I'm sure I've used more exclamation points so far in this letter than in all 67 combined. Next, I met a boy named Connor, who works for my uncle because he wants to be an inventor when he grows up. He calls me New Girl, even though I've lived here in Willow Falls now almost 2 months. But I kind of like it. I've never had a nickname before. At least not one that people called me to my face. Winking smiley face. Connor has a younger sister named Grace, who has a lot of responsibility for someone her age, and we've all agreed to help her whenever she needs us. Yep, I help people now, too. LOL. And I say things like LOL, and sometimes even like and OMG. I know. Embarrassing, right? I think I just want to sound like everyone else. So, the only person I haven't mentioned yet is Connor's best friend, David, who lives across the street from my aunt and uncle. He's tall, like me, so I don't feel like a giant next to him, like I do next to most kids our age. He is really smart and kind of anxious sometimes, but also really easygoing and has this amazing voice when he sings outside. He's kind of deep, you know, like an onion. I mean, in the way that there are layers to him that I'm still finding. Much more about him to tell, but that will have to wait for the next letter, because my mom is dragging me out for school supplies because we're moving here. And staying! Mom swears it this time. So, tomorrow, I start yet another new school, but this time, I'll have friends before I even start. Me equals very excited and kind of embarrassed that I'm so excited. WBS, and I promise I will too. XO, Tara, your old pen pal, /friend. P.S. Thank you for saying my letters were better than any book you've read. I doubt that, but it made me feel good.
David. From Linda at onlinefamilytherapy.com to David Goldberg at willowfallschool.edu. Subject, new patient questionnaire. Dear David, we at OFT, Online Family Therapy, are looking forward to working with you as you adjust to this new phase of your family's life together. Please answer the following questions honestly and openly. It will help us help you. Your mother believes you could benefit from our help, and you can rest assured that your responses will be kept completely confidential. Question. Tell us a little about yourself.
Answer. My name is David. I'm 13. Just had my bar mitzvah. I wear glasses, which I don't mind because they make me look smarter. I like to sing. I like hanging out with my best friend Connor and other friends like Rory, Amanda, and Leo. I want to be a pediatrician when I grow up. I have a brand new girlfriend named Tara, which I never thought I'd have. I mean, I never thought I'd have a girlfriend, not that I never thought I'd have one named Tara. You know what I mean. She and her family just moved in down the street from me. I liked her from the first time I looked up at her from the bottom of an empty pool hole. She is almost as tall as me, and I think she is very pretty, even though she doesn't think about stuff like what she wears or makeup or hair, like some other girls. She says what's on her mind, usually. She's also independent and a deep thinker. We get each other. We've both had really bizarre experiences, and things like that can bond you for life. I don't get to see her as much now that my dad's home, but she totally understands.
Question. How do you feel about your father returning home after so many years in the hospital and special clinics?
Answer. Are you kidding? I'm still jumping up and down like a kid seeing snow for the first time.
Question. How is your father adjusting to life at home?
Answer. Great! We're doing all sorts of fun things together to make up for lost time. Swimming, playing ball, long walks, and a lot of eating. It's awesome. Usually it's awesome. I mean, well, some days I guess it's a little hard for him to be this big medical miracle. The doctors from his old clinic keep calling and asking about his overnight recovery, and my dad can't blame them because he knows they want to help their other patients, but he doesn't know what to tell them. All he knows is that one day he was completely healed. Sometimes he doesn't want to leave the house, like he feels guilty or something, but then he's usually okay after a bit. Also, he has to get used to how my mom runs things and our routine and everything, and I think it's hard because he feels like he should be back at work, but my mom wants him to rest more. I don't want him to go to work yet either. In fact, I should go check on him. Okay, I'm back.
He's all good. I told him I'd put air in our bike tires, and he said I didn't have to, but I'm hoping if there is air in the tires, he will agree to ride.
Question. If you have any questions for us or about this process, please ask below.
Answer. Why is the sky blue? Just kidding. Although, actually, not kidding. I really don't know.
End of new patient questionnaire. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome, I guess. I'm not really sure why my mother thinks I need to do this, but I'm not in the mood to complain about anything right now, so I'm just going with the flow, dude. That's something my friend Connor would say.
Connor.
Connor Kelly's Inventor's Journal. Type of product, hands-free umbrella. Inventor, Roger St. Clair, Connor Kelly, assistant. Description of invention in progress. Hands-free umbrella to protect the user from rain, snow, or sunlight. What problem does it solve? Allows the user to carry items in both hands while still being protected by an umbrella, or to carry items in one hand, a phone, a camera, groceries, and hold a child's hand with the other. Who will want or need this product? Everyone who likes to keep dry without the burden of holding an umbrella with his or her hand. Materials: acrylic coating, microfiber, rayon, lycra, nylon, Scotchgard finish, steel, aluminum, wood, plastic, wire, metal hinges, metal springs, adjustable denim straps, rare earth magnets. Steps. Experiment with positioning the tops of umbrellas by clipping onto hat, resting on shoulders, attaching to backpack or headband. Underarm straps? Magnetized to jacket? Results. After much trial and error, mostly consisting of Connor Kelly trying on various prototypes and then having a garden hose aimed at his head while he juggled tennis balls, the best solution was deemed to be a flexible coil that attaches to the bottom of a regular umbrella stem and is then wound around the wearer's shoulder and tucked under his or her arm to hold into place. Final observations. For this inventor's assistant, getting to be a part of inventing the hands-free umbrella snake was an amazing experience. I got to see how an invention is first dreamed up by an existing need, and then how many options are considered and attempted before the best solution is found. And the best is often the simplest.
Chapter 3. Grace.
I've been back at school exactly 3 days, and I have been sent to the principal's office 4 times, and none of it was my fault. I underestimated how quickly word of me being in the hospital over the summer had spread. Even though they don't know what really happened, everybody at school knows I was sick, even the teachers. Kids in Willow Falls almost never go to the hospital, thanks to Angelina's magic. So whenever I walk down the hall, or sit in class, or eat lunch, or change for gym, kids point at me like I'm a circus freak. I'm causing a distraction just by existing. At least that was the reason for my first 2 trips. Then, on Wednesday afternoon, I was accused of cheating because I finished the math assignment in only 2 minutes when it should have taken 20. It really did feel like 20 minutes to me. And when I argued this, the teacher showed me the clock. I wish Angelina had warned me about this wonky time stuff. Last night, I almost flooded the house when I turned on the bathwater, and then, in what seemed like only seconds later, the tub was overflowing. My final trip to see the principal, who I'm now getting to know very well, was actually Mom's fault. We're only allowed to have phones at school if they're turned off, but Mom turned mine on this morning without telling me because she didn't like that she couldn't reach me from 9 till 3 each day. So, of course, it rings during the Pledge of Allegiance, which is, according to my teacher, not only rude, but also unpatriotic. Principal Reese decided it was time for a little chat with my parents. So now I'm sitting in the hall outside his office, waiting for Mom to arrive. I look up from doodling in my social studies notebook to see that an older boy has joined me in the hallway. He leans against the opposite wall outside the nurse's office. His arm is all bandaged up.
"Yo,"
he says. "Yo," I reply. "Skateboard accident?" He shakes his head.
"My bunny tried to kill me. Again."
I've practiced lifting one eyebrow for just this type of occasion. I lift it. "Really? A killer bunny? You don't hear that very often." He shrugs. A series of pictures suddenly flashes across my mind, like watching a movie on super fast forward. The mall, a cage, a bunny with orange ears, Rory, a magician, the ceramic bunny Leo made Connor when I was sick. "Kyle!" I blurt out. The kid looks up from examining his arm, surprised.
"How did you know his name?"
I smile. "He has a long history of unstable behavior. You may want to lock him in another room when you go to sleep."
"Tried that,"
the boy says. "Grace!" Mom rushes down the hall toward us, out of breath and pale. "Is everything all right?" Mom gives the boy a quick glance as he ducks into the nurse's office. "Bunny attack," I explain.
"Why are you here?"
she asks. My old mom, the one who I had before the vortex turned our lives upside down, the one who I could laugh with and tell anything to, who I could shop with and dance to pop music with, would have at least smiled at the idea of an evil bunny. But the new post-vortex version of my mother doesn't seem to have a sense of humor anymore. I close my notebook and get to my feet. I don't want to worry her. "It's no big deal," I tell her, "just taking a little longer to adjust to school." She wrings her hands.
"You promised you were going to be a normal girl as much as possible, at least while you could."
"I know. It's not always up to me." She frowns.
"I'm sorry about calling your phone this morning. This was supposed to be my first day back at work, but then, I don't know, I couldn't go."
Her eyes get glossy and she looks down. The principal's door opens and he ushers us inside. I swallow the lump in my throat. Mom loves her part-time job at the local newspaper, and I had hoped returning to work would help her get back to her old self. I only half listen as the principal tells my mother that they're all very pleased I am fully recovered from whatever led to my hospital stay, and that they will help me to adjust any way they can. Guess I'm not in trouble. Mom looks relieved, but the dark circles under her eyes from lack of sleep are still as dark. I have accepted my destiny and the responsibilities that will one day go along with it, but for my parents, there's just too much worry. Her voice cracks as she thanks the principal, and something cracks within me. My heart starts beating faster, and I feel that little spark inside me grow warmer. I take a deep breath, and it grows warmer still. That's interesting. I take another, deeper breath, and now I can feel the energy inside me build. I glance at the little silver clock on the edge of the principal's desk, just in time to see the second hand jerk to a stop. I blink and look again. It hasn't budged. Then I look around me. Mom and Principal Reese look like they're in a movie that just froze on the screen, the characters stuck in mid-sentence. I jump up from my chair and run out into the hall. The hallway is completely empty, except for a girl kneeling on the floor, stopped in the middle of yanking a sweatshirt out of her locker. I watch to see if she's going to stand. She doesn't. I stand still for a few minutes, not sure what to do. Then the echo of footsteps pounding the floor reaches me from both directions. One after the other, the members of Team Grace round the corners of the hallways, and I breathe a sigh of relief that I'm not in this alone. Leo reaches me first.
"Where is it?"
he asks, peeking around behind me. He's like an eager puppy trying to find a hidden bone. "Where's what?"
"The pizza."
I would laugh, but I'm too freaked out. "No pizza this time, sorry." He pretends to pout, then says,
"Oh well, what's going on then?"
Connor reaches us before I can answer. He throws his arms around me.
"Are you okay? What's happening?"
I untangle myself from his arms as the girls reach us. Tara and Rory are laughing about something on Rory's phone, and Amanda looks, well, kind of annoyed, actually. She quickly rearranges her face, but I saw what I saw.
"Well, this is different,"
Connor declares.
"I was sitting in math class, and Mr. Nelson had just announced a pop quiz, and I was like, 'Dude, on the third day of school? Really?' And then everyone suddenly froze in the middle of whatever they were doing. The kid behind me was mid-sneeze, and all these gross droplets of snot just hung in the air. And if it grossed me out, you know it was gross. Then it was like I knew right where to find you. I think this may be the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me."
Tara pats Connor on the shoulder.
"Oh, you poor delusional boy. This isn't even close to the weirdest thing that's going to happen to you."
"Thanks, new girl,"
he says.
"I'm not sure if that's good or bad."
"Where's David?" Amanda asks. We all look around. "No David."
"I don't know his schedule yet,"
Tara says.
"Maybe history class? Or is it art?"
"We should try to find him," Amanda says. "This is the first time he's experienced magic like this. He might be totally freaking out. I know I was when it happened to me."
"You're right,"
Leo says, suddenly serious.
"It can be really scary the first time, especially when you're alone."
He reaches for Amanda's hand. Is it my imagination, or does she flinch for a split second before taking it? "Or," Rory says, "what if David's frozen like everyone else? Maybe he's not able to feel the magic after all. Maybe once his dad came home, his part in all this was over?" No one answers. Tara looks like someone punched her. She turns to me and says,
"That would be awful. He was left out of everything that happened with me when I first came here. And then he was away when you were in your coma thing. And he so badly wants to help you after everything you did for his dad. If he..."
But she doesn't get to finish her thought. The door to a bathroom a few feet away from us suddenly swings open. Out walks David, tucking in his shirt. He stops when he sees us, then grins.
"Hey guys, what are you all doing out here?"
Tara runs up and throws her arms around him. His glasses go flying off. Amanda runs over and hands them to him.
"Now this feels familiar," she says.
"Wow,"
David says, sliding his glasses back on.
"If I knew I'd get a hug every time I came out of the bathroom, I'd chug water all day long. But seriously, did I miss the memo about cutting class?"
Tara takes him by the arm and leads him to the doorway of the closest classroom. She points inside.
"I don't get it,"
David says after a few seconds.
"Why aren't they moving?"
"Grace stopped time,"
Tara says plainly.
"Say what now?"
he replies. He looks around at the rest of us.
"It's true,"
Connor says.
"Crazy, right, Hamburglar? My little sister can stop time."
I feel a tingle of pride, but mostly fear. I blurt out, "What if I can't start it again?" Rory puts her hand on my shoulder.
"Why don't you tell us what happened?"
I explain about the trips to the principal and how my mom is here and about how I can't stand the way all this is affecting my parents. Then I get to the part about the clock stopping, and as the words leave my mouth, I realize the connection. I know. Right when I made the decision that I had to do something for my parents, time stopped.
But what can you do?
David asks.
You can't make them forget it all happened. Or can you? I don't really understand how any of this works.
I don't know if I can, I admit. I don't even know where I'd begin.
Angelina used to make potions a long time ago, Tara says. Maybe there's one for making people forget.
But it wouldn't just be our parents,
Connor points out.
It would have to be everyone who knew about Grace going to the hospital, which, in this town, is practically everyone, and the hospital staff, too.
You're right, I say. But how would I possibly be able to do that? You stopped time, Rory points out, and you don't even have most of your powers back. Good point, I admit.
Let's go to Angelina's house after school, Tara suggests. She has a huge herb garden in the front yard. Maybe you can figure out how to combine them in the right way or something.
I don't think we're supposed to wait that long,
Leo says, pointing behind us. I turn around to see Ray striding down the hall toward us.
Where to?
He asks, holding up his keys.
Chapter 4. Grace.
5 minutes later, we're all piled into Ray's car and heading onto Main Street.
I would have taken the boss's SUV,
he explains,
but it wouldn't turn on. Only my little guy worked.
It's okay, I tell him, and I'm sorry about all this. I'm sure you were in the middle of something.
No worries, mate,
he says.
I've seen stranger things.
This is like Frogger,
Connor shouts, as our car darts between all the cars stopped dead in the road. I'm sitting on Connor's lap in the back, squished between David and Rory. My mind is shooting in all directions. How did I do this? Do I even have the right to do this? Are you okay? Rory asks. I shake my head. I keep thinking about how the whole world is stopped right now, I tell her. Babies are in the middle of being born. Couples are in the middle of getting married. Airplanes are in the middle of takeoff. I shiver. Isn't this dangerous or wrong somehow, to play with people's lives who we don't even know? Amanda turns around from the front seat.
I don't think it works that way. Leo and I had a lot of time to think about it over the last few years. I think what happens when you or Angelina stops time is that it's not like time is actually stopped, like someone pressed the pause button on the world. It's more like you opened up a crack in time and we slipped inside. We're the ones in a place with no time, not them. So from their point of view, nothing has changed. Does that make sense?
I go over her words in my head as I look out the car window at the world frozen around us. The leaves are stuck mid-sway, the birds mid-glide. So basically, I didn't stop time at all. I just pulled us out of it.
Exactly, Amanda says, smiling warmly.
I return her smile, glad that she seems back to normal. Maybe she had been in the middle of a really good class before, and that's why she'd been annoyed in the hallway. Angelina's house looks totally different from what I'd expected. Actually, I don't know what I'd expected. It's hard to picture her living anywhere as ordinary as a house, but I know we're at the right place, not only because of the go-away sign, or the strong smell of apples, or the neatly labeled herb and flower gardens, but because I can see her everywhere. There she is, leaning over the birdbath,